Human Factors in Action, getting pumped at a nursing usability laboratory. You're listening to Longwoods Radio, your healthcare source for ideas, new policies, and best practices. A central concept in patient safety is to build a system of care that reduces the possibility for human error and prevents human error from causing patient harm. Human factors is the scientific discipline concerned with designing systems to meet the needs, limits, and capabilities of the people who work in them. The application of human factors science is a logical step in the patient safety movement. One important aspect of human factors science is the usability of medical devices. Human factors principles can be used in the design and development of medical devices and in the ongoing evaluation of devices while in use. Usability testing can identify unanticipated design problems with a relatively small sample of users. There are relatively few published examples of usability testing of medical devices. Human factors principles reduce programming errors with patient-controlled analgesia pumps and improve efficiency. Although usability should be a prime consideration in medical device selection, the process of device procurement may overlook vital usability considerations. Fortunately, a growing number of institutions have adopted usability principles for device procurement and training. At Sunnybrook, the safety program is focused on three core areas: culture, reliability design, and measurement. Work on reliable design began inviting two human factors consultants to provide advice. There was developed a human factors course for staff that has been very popular and highly rated. This paper describes the initial experience in applying human factors usability principles to medical devices use in usability laboratory. The overarching goals were: 1. To develop usability assessment method, 2. To apply this usability assessment method to existing clinical tasks, and 3. To build expertise and teamwork in the assessment of device usability. The specific objectives for this initial pilot study were: 1. To develop human factors usability checklist, 2. To develop a procurement checklist for two common nursing tasks, programming a hairapin infusion and programming an insulin infusion, 3. To identify usability problems with our current infusion device while carrying out these nursing tasks. Selected were two common nursing tasks for evaluation: programming a hairapin infusion and programming an insulin infusion. Nurses regularly carry out these tasks in an acute care ward, critical care area, or emergency room. Hairapin infusions are based on pre-printed standard orders and protocols, whereas insulin infusions are less standardized. On the acute care wards and in the emergency room, there is no standardized insulin infusion protocol. In the critical care units, there is a pre-printed insulin infusion protocol, but the physician can still write any range of infusion parameters. Also developed was a generic usability checklist based on human factors principles and advice from human factors consultants. A checklist was used during the observation and debriefing sessions. The nurse educators developed a checklist for each procedure, focused solely on the programming steps. Issues related to drug selection, intravenous admixture, labeling of infusions, or infusion line setup were not addressed. Each nurse educator recruited a convenient sample of volunteer nurse participants from their units, and each participant received a briefing by the patient safety service team. Emphasis on goals were to identify and understand problems related to infusion pump use. It was explained that the session was not a performance evaluation and that all information was to be used to improve the system of care. It was also emphasized that the nurses' experiences using the devices were essential to the success of the project, so that there would be a debrief after the session. The volunteer nurse then entered the simulation lab. Two intravenous infusions were already set up on the simulated patient, and there were two infusion devices available. Two observers took notes, a patient safety specialist and a nurse educator. They both used the procedure checklist while observing the nurse. The patient safety specialist also had the usability checklist available, but they found it to be more useful during the debriefing session. Each participant completed the hairapin programming task, followed by the insulin programming task. After the first few volunteers, participants were given the option of calling a time out. Participants said that, in usual practice, if they ran into difficulties, they would take a time out and seek advice from a colleague. After the two tasks were completed, the observers debriefed with the nurse and participant, guided by the questions on the usability checklist. The biomedical engineer downloaded all of the programming steps onto a laptop for subsequent review. Later, the patient safety specialist and the biomedical engineering technician reviewed the programming steps and the field notes to identify recurrent patterns of error. The programming steps combined with the field notes were used to draw preliminary conclusions. The study team then reviewed and endorsed the conclusions. Recruited were a total of 11 nurses, including 8 from acute care and 2 from critical care, or coronary care units. 7 nurses reported greater than 2 years' experience in their current role. Identified were several usability problems, including incorrect programming of infusion parameters, difficulty recovering from these programming errors, inability to clear previous program settings, and inconsistencies between infusion rate displayed on correctly programmed device and the pre-printed order sheet. Many nurses experienced difficulty with the programming steps. First, there was an inconsistency between the order of parameters on the pre-printed orders and the order of parameters requested by the machine. The machine requested it in this in sequence: desired rate, total dose, total volume, and remaining volume in the bag. By contrast, written orders usually listed them in this sequence: total dose, total volume, and desired rate. In addition, the messages displayed during the programming sequence were confusing or ambiguous. For example, the machine displayed a message CONC twice, but each time a different parameter was needed. With the first CONC prompt, the nurse had to enter the total drug dose. With the second, the nurse had to enter the total original volume on the infusion bag. There were differences between the two prompts, but these were easily overlooked. The next prompt was for volume, but it was asking for the remaining volume in the bag, not the initial volume in the bag. Programming errors were not visible until the final infusion rate was calculated and displayed by the device. In most cases, the nurse recognized that an error had been made somewhere because the rate was unusually high or low. In one case, the patient would have received a significant overdose. Difficulty was observed in recovering from these programming errors. First, it was not clear where the error occurred, because there was no easy method for reviewing the program settings. Nurses tended to restart the entire programming sequence because it was not possible to easily detect which step was incorrect. Some nurses attempted to clear all previous settings, but encountered difficulty. The clear button did not actually clear previous settings. Similarly, turning off the device did not clear the settings. The necessary step was to choose the option code, then enter 99, but not all nurses were aware of this. Finally, problems were identified caused by inconsistencies between the device display and the written orders. Specifically, the machine displayed the calculated rates to one decimal place, whereas the pre-printed orders round up or down to the nearest unit. The nurse might expect a rate of 24 units per hour, yet see a programmed rate of 23.6 units per hour. This occasionally led to delays while the nurse decided whether the programming was correct. Some errors were caused by the study itself. In 2 cases, the participants chose an unusual programming option that calculated the rate in units per kilogram per hour. This led to additional programming steps and unusual rate displays. The participants said they would not normally choose this option, but did so because they were being observed. Additional usability problems and insights were gained during the debriefing sessions. The major usability problem was a recognition and recovery from errors. Many nurses felt that the machine did not help them recognize errors. One said, "You have to rely on yourself." Some nurses stated that the programming options were so confusing that they never used them. Instead, they used the simplest set of steps to program the rate, displayed in milliliters per hour. This workaround, while it eliminated the need to program the dose of medication or the original volume in the intravenous solution bag, might lead to problems in the clinical setting. If a nurse were expecting the machine to be programmed in units per hour, the rate might be adjusted incorrectly. For example, the rate is increased by 10 milliliters per hour instead of 10 units per hour. Many nurses expressed particular difficulty with certain error signals. Although none of these signals arose during the study, it was clear that they were the source of great concern to the nurses. It was learned that one of these signals led to the immediate disabling of the machine. and only the biomedical engineering department could enable it again for clinical use. Participants described significant frustration trying to get such machines working again, without knowing that nothing could be done to override the signal. The participants all stated that the experience was informative and positive. The nurse educators also found the experience very instructive. They said it would change the way they carried out their orientation and training in the future. In this small pilot study, several usability problems were identified with current infusion procedures. In the short term, this information will be used to modify training procedures and the design of preprinted orders. In the long term, feedback will be provided to the manufacturer to improve future designs, and usability testing to guide procurement of new medical devices will be used. Prior studies have identified important usability problems with infusion devices. Lin et al. Identified several usability problems with a patient-controlled analgesia device, including difficulty in viewing settings, difficulty recognizing and recovering from error, misleading and confusing displays, and misleading or confusing labels. Simple redesigns of the user interface reduced errors, reduced mental workload, and increased programming efficiency. Automation can paradoxically lead to new errors. For example, an automated patient identification barcoding device may create opportunities for error in patient identification and medication administration. Similarly, it was found that using the advanced programming options paradoxically increased the likelihood of programming error. This small pilot study has several limitations. Studied were a small number of volunteers from the institution, so the generalizability of these results is limited. Addressing this limitation has begun by presenting the results to local hospital nursing committees. So far, the response has generally been endorsement and enthusiasm. Another limitation is that some nurses said they had changed their usual pattern of work because they were not being observed, which led them to mistakes they would not otherwise have made. The project was conducted in a high-fidelity simulator using a simulated patient. However, the key learning was generated from observing the patient's use of the device. The authors believe that any institution can conduct a similar project in a low-fidelity setting. The only necessary components would be volunteer nurses, observers, an infusion device, and some checklists. The preliminary study suggested an exciting role for human factors in the development of hospital procedures and training programs. Nursing staff and educators found the method to be instructive and constructive. The project generated recommendations and changes in infusion device training, infusion device procurement, and standardized order design. One of the new CCHSA-required organizational practices is to provide an ongoing, effective training for service providers on all infusion pumps. The approach may be useful to other Canadian institutions as they address this required practice. Results suggest that observations of simulated or actual use and attention to human factors usability principles will be needed to maximize the safety benefit of infusion device training. In summary, human factors usability principles were applied to two common infusion device tasks and identified several usability problems. Sunnybrook Health Sciences Center has begun to modify their training programs and preprinted orders to address these problems, and they plan to provide feedback to the device manufacturer. This method can easily be adopted to any healthcare organization to enhance the safety of intravenous infusions. The authors of this study are Edward Etchells, Cynthia Bailey, Ron Bison, Susan D'Souza, Lori Fowler, Karen Johnson, Catherine Morash, and Catherine O'Neill, all of which are from the Sunnybrook Health Sciences Center. This has been Longwoods Radio. Thanks for listening.